the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We will have coverage of the Texas Rangers Baseball Club coming up this evening for your enjoyment. That coverage will start at 6:30 as they continue their series against the Angels. They lost yesterday, 5-2, although they did pull a triple play, just the second of the season. Josh Jung was involved in that that bit of success.
Made a really nice play. And not that one play answers our defensive deal, but it, you know, because I've been
starting to kind of stack him up.
Yeah, that was a really nice play by him, throwing on the run, throwing behind him, the start on a triple play. Like, yeah, it was kind of baseball's viral moment. For and then Judge hit his 60th home run in that chase. Okay, that
right, nice, and cute, the same cute with triple the, play, the walk off grand slam to kind of put the icing on top. Rangers have lost three in a row. They'll take on the Angels tonight. As I said, first pitch, 7:05. Also have the high school fan zone for you at 7 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. Clint, are you excited about talking about Aaron Judge for three more hours here?
To be fair, I did spark Jamie into it. I played the calls for him. I thought it would brighten up his day. He just seemed kind of down.
He was having a bad day?
He asked me how old I thought he was.
Oh,
and
no.
I was, let's just say I was 2 years over what the number is. So
like
I kind of
43?
Sure. 72.
How old is he?
48.
Yeah, he's 48?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
He's
a man.
He looks spryer than 48.
Yeah.
That's part of his, he's got a fairly active lifestyle, a lot of tennis. And
to be fair, the reason I overshot it, he was like, oh, you'd be surprised. So I thought I had to go like way high on the number.
So you said he was 50. Oh, man. I'm surprised you still have an employment agreement here.
I don't. I'm actually having to pay to be here at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
Hang in there. Keep your chin up.
Love to get your thoughts and your comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also join us through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. We have some Southwest Airlines hijinks to get to today. We have some smack talk from an ACC quarterback to get to today. We have more media discussions as it pertains to the Pac-12 to discuss today. And, of course, all of your thoughts and all of your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Were you all in last night once he hit 59? Were you, once that?
No, I remain committed to my man Albert, who didn't hit number 699. But I think he's just saving it.
You think so for when you get there? He knows you're coming.
Yeah. What's up, El Hombre? What's up, Gus?
I saw that that ESPN will. Oh, do you have something prepared?
I want that clipped. Albert Pujols saying hi to me. That's what that was.
They're going to cut in to
nice.
Judge at bats. Now that he's at 60, he's tied Babe Ruth.
You said ESPN?
ESPN.
Yeah. Good. So that's cool.
It is. Yeah. So they'll break into, I guess, like the League Cup, which I think is an MLS thing. So that's, you think they'll do that for Pujols in 700?
I don't know. That's a good question. Once, he'll have to get to 699. I mean,
right, yeah,
I
yeah.
don't think they would make that leap to two homers away. I don't think they'd make that leap. But that's an interesting question.
700 is kind of this, like, magical, I think, number.
There's only, three people there. He'd be fourth. I mean, this elite, high cotton. I think he that'll be interesting, because Albert's not in the lineup every day, playing a little bit more now than he was, I'm sure, and especially stacking him against left-handers, and so his will be a little bit less predictable. other than him setting the one aside until, of course, I get to St. Louis next Friday. But
it's really nice of him.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's going to happen during that weekend, which isn't a tremendous surprise, but I think a battery of Wainwright and Yachty is going to happen as well. But, you know, you asked me 6 weeks ago what will happen first or what's more likely to happen, Judge 61 or Albert 700, and I said Judge. Just because
now that's the heavy
younger
favorite.
Body, yeah, sure. Yeah. But to Albert's credit, he's made that interesting, and yeah, just it was interesting to see. It was really probably a decent set of timing for the sport of baseball, for Major League Baseball, for that to happen on a Tuesday when they could really command the calendar,
right? Not opposite on a Sunday,
yeah, sure. Not opposite some,
yeah, because I saw some ratings for the WNBA finals, because suddenly, yeah. Now if you're a college sports fan, you also have this, like, you're getting a minor in, like, TV, yes, ratings and stuff and media markets, and the first three games are about 500,000, 600,000 people, which is not like some amazing number, but it's
and
still,
this for the finals of the NBA,
WNBA, yeah, finals,
yep, yep.
But I think game four was on a Sunday, and they just got crushed, just like, I mean, 200,000, 300,000, sure, half as much. This one, the Yates Flooring Center chat line. When are we going to start holding professional athletes to a higher standard? 160 games in Major League Baseball, 60 homers should not be impressive. 22 sacks in an NFL season should not be impressive. That's barely one per game. That's bare minimum. Get two or three a game, get 90 homers, and call that impressive.
Well, I mean, the game you've talked about, this, there's been like 100,000 games played. There's been 100 years of baseball, and this has happened three or four times. So it's impressive just because of the scarcity of it, right? I mean, and the only people to have ever done it, well, of, you know, three or four of the people who have done it, or three or four of the times it has been done, have been aided by PEDs. Now we got a 6'7", 265-pound guy that's getting it done, but it's just the sheer scarcity of it. I mean, it's all relative. We can talk about 60 isn't enough, but nobody's ever hit 90 without being, you know, Bonds is the closest to ever do that. His head size grew about 4 inches as a 38-year-old, so you do the math.
Mommy, Daddy, got straight A's on my report card. Come talk to me and you get A+. Leave me alone.
I mean, that's
basically what that is.
That's a heavy text right there, man. I mean, it's all relative.
This is the Yates Flooring Center chat line. What do you think that Aaron Judge and Jamie Lynn's favorite fry is?
You know, I've
French.
I've roomed with, yeah, nice. I've roomed with Jamie enough. I feel like I should know this. Although most of the time we're traveling with the team, and so our, you know, it's not just a jump into McDonald's type. We've driven to DFW a couple times. Mike Donald's, yeah, get it right.
Come on now.
Yep, my bad. That's right, Coach A. Sorry about that. I haven't seen him be picky around any fries. I feel like he and I've shared a meal together at some McDonald's and some Whataburger, Mike Donald's and some Whataburger, and
you're slipping.
There's been no, I know. And he's, you know, I've never seen him be picky around a fry. But I don't know. That's good. That's good. I'm sure he's got a favorite.
There's got to be a setup to a joke, right?
I don't know, yeah. I mean, I'm committed to reading it, pretty much every text that we get, so
I would, yeah,
if folks are going to take the time to pound that out on their keyboards.
He seems like the kind of guy that's going to be interested in the basic fry, McDonald's fries.
More tech talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. Time for some headlines brought to you by our very good friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Two convenient locations here in town, 4th Street and the West Loop behind the Whataburger, and also Slide Road and 69th Street. And if you aren't able to get out and about today, you can always go to specsonline.com as well. Texas Rangers baseball in action tonight as they continue their series against the Los Angeles Angels. Rangers lost to the Halos yesterday 5-2. They've now lost three games in a row in four of their last five. They have slipped to 63-84 on the season, 34 games back in the AOS division standings. I don't think they're making the postseason, Gus.
What?
First pitch tonight, 7:05 from Globe Life Field. Robert Sarver on Wednesday, today, announced that he has begun the process to sell both the NBA's Phoenix Suns and the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury franchises. Sarver was suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million last week after an NBA investigation found that he used the N-word at least five times, quote, when recounting the statements of others. Sarver was also involved in, quote, instances of inequitable conduct toward female employees, including, quote, sex-related comments, end quote, and inappropriate comments on employees' appearances. Sarver bought the team in 2004 for about $400 million. He only owns about a third of that. He's not the sole owner, but he is the primary owner, at least for now. Forbes recently estimated that the Suns are worth about $1.8 billion. Big 12 Conference Commissioner Brett Yormark has announced an office reorganization that includes a new business vertical, modernization of titles, depth and staffing, and promotions. As part of the new structure, the conference has identified the following departments: Office of the Commissioner, Accounting and Human Services, Communications, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Governance, Legal Affairs and Compliance, Marketing, Branding, and Licensing, Sales and Ticketing, Sports and Championship Administration, and Television, Digital Production, and Technology. Could you ever think that Bob Bowlsby used the word business vertical in his entire time as commissioner?
Weed strain.
No, probably not.
I mean, I have 25 bucks in my pocket. I would bet no.
Yeah, and really has everything to do with him coming from academia. There's probably some things Yormark never said either, but yeah, that is very business vertical. That's very, very corporate.
You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. The juice was brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods.
Since there's at least a one zillionth of a possibility that I could catch home run ball number 700. Most likely.
Because you'll be in St. Louis a week from tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
You know, wear a full uniform?
Shoving. Yeah. I like it. Glove and all. Shoving little kids out of the way, tackling people. But you can think about that 700th, wherever it happens, just as Judge's ball, the next one he hits, is going to be like a clamored for item, right? I mean, have you ever thought about, I really have never given this much thought, but I've wondered about, what would you do if you caught that thing? Because it's kind of been, you know, on one hand, museum guy me, Hall of Fame guy me is going, high-minded. I'll donate that to Cooperstown where it belongs. On the other hand, if somebody went, hey, dude, that thing's worth like, $2.4 million. I don't know what it would be, $1.4, whatever, $104,000. I don't know. There's a point at which I'd go, yeah, man, that's like paying off houses and car loans and putting grandkids through college. Like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think it probably depends, too, on, you know, if a Cardinals fan catches it during a homestand or if a visiting fan catches it. The same would have gone for Judge.
And when I was thinking about that, I was going, I'd have an easier time catching the Judge homer and going, it's highest bidder, boys, calling the auction house. The Cardinals deal would be like, that's my man Albert, you know. So,
that's true. Yeah, I mean, for a lifelong fan of any franchise, in your case, the Cardinals.
Sure.
That's
right.
The memory right? The experience, the ability to kind of be part of that and you know, give that back to someone who's brought you so much joy, not to sound corny.
Sure.
That experience is worth something, a lot. And it kind of maybe outweighs some potential financial gain. Whereas, you know, if you're a Reds fan or a Cubs fan and you catch number 700 for Pujols, it's like, again, I hate the Cardinals.
Yeah,
so
it's a transaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I totally get it. I was thinking it's one of those fun, what would you do if you won the lottery kind of questions. Like, oh, that's kind of fun to think about, you know. Yeah, I'll, and there's a point at which, the you know, if I caught Pujols 700, that would become transactional too. Now, I don't know what that dollar amount is, but there's enough. Like, man, Albert, you know, he that person that caught 697 or whatever caught it on the anniversary of her father's passing, and she was a Cardinals fan.
I saw that.
It got a little play on social media because she had taken him the ball. And probably was recounting this, hey, so my dad loved you. He died a year ago today.
You keep it means more. Yeah.
Yeah. And signed it and, you know, did some whatever, signed another ball for her and, you know, did some cool stuff in a way that you go, man, that's really
cool. You would almost, I think, need to leave the stadium right away after catching that ball, because I don't know how this works. This is just a guess. But my assumption is on something like that, you have team officials, stadium workers, whatever, making a beeline for you,
yeah,
to try to get that ball and play on the emotion, play on, you know,
and security probably all over it too to make sure it's not a brawl,
right? And so that if you just kind of remove yourself from the situation, although, I mean, would you need to get some kind of certification?
Yeah, I think they've got those
stickers or whatever,
codes or whatever, but they're the fancier than that. They've got those. It's some science fiction.
And would they would do that for you even if you kept it to sell?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's an authentication process that goes with that. And I'm sure it would have to do with provenance. In other words, they need to say, hey, the guy in the blue caught it, you know, and then you go, hey, here's the ball. And then there's an authentication deal probably there in the building when somebody like that's there, you know. What am I thinking of? I was saying barcode, UPC, but it's hologram. I started to say algorithm, hologram. It's one of those hologram deals, it would be a heck of a deal. I'm sure. I know our seats on Friday and Saturday are back behind home plate, so we might catch his 4 millionth foul ball or something. We're not catching his.
If you were in the outfield, right? How
I'd probably take a glove.
Well. My question is, and he's you know, bangs one in your general direction, and it's got a chance. I mean, how much are you moving? Are you pretty much staying tethered to your seat and just letting kind of just fate play out, or are you like booking it?
If I'm in an aisle, of course, it'll be packed.
Throwing bows?
It'll be packed. But if I was in an aisle, Steve, I'd step out into the aisle. But I'm sure it'll be a circus.
Oh, sure.
If that thing gets to,
I guess
St.
my
Louis,
question is, are you going to ride the unicycle as part of it?
Yeah, probably not.
No.
I mean, but yeah, if I was sitting in the outfield, and I'm not, I might throw on, I'm going to take a glove. I hadn't taken a glove to a game in decades, but I'm like, if I'm parked out in left field, I might do it. But I think our Sunday. And
do
again,
you
we bought,
down on people that bring gloves?
No, heck no.
Okay.
Just at 55, it might be a little much, but we bought those tickets just going, hey, that'll be cool. It's like Albert, they're celebrating Albert and Yachty, and he might hit a 700th home run, you know, like, so it'll be a real, it's got a chance at least to be a record day as opposed to just, hey, I want to be there on the day they, you know, coronate Yachty and Albert.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. This will be our last day here in the first United Bank Double T 97.3 studio of the week. We'll be at Twin Peaks tomorrow, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, and then Friday we'll be over at the Overton for our broadcasts. We will have some tickets to give away both days, so stay tuned. Not a lot, really just kind of one pair every day, but still, they're tickets to Texas. Hard to get from what I understand, so stay tuned to that tomorrow and Friday. Did you see the Drake? Well, first of all, do you know who Drake May is?
Mm-mm.
Drake May is the quarterback.
Oh, you're just gonna say Drake?
No, yeah, no. We know you like Drake.
I know.
We know. We know Drake, you.
Do likes what? The grassy.
Yeah,
yeah. No, we've that's been established.
God's plan.
Do you know Drake May is the quarterback for the North Carolina Tar Heels? There's really very little reason why you should know who he is.
Sounds like he should be like on a yacht at Cape Cod or something, sailing on Cape Cod. The name, like,
does that sound appealing to you?
With Drake May,
what, being yacht? On a yacht and around Cape Cod,
yacht, maybe more so than sailing. But yeah, I mean, just kind of R&R.
Yeah,
but yeah, Drake May. That's kind of.
I just don't ever really view like New England in that area as kind of like a primo vacation relax spot.
Really? Like, summertime? Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
The leaves changing?
Well, that's not summertime. But that's a pretty good gig up there.
That's like a nightmare, dude. Like, I cannot even imagine getting roped into that. You know, and thankfully, I don't think Mrs. D is very concerned with.
I think it's a retirement trip where you just go leisurely spend a week in New England, popping around. I did see a cool fall foliage calendar where you can slide the little deal over from one date, you know, like September 5th, 12th, and it shows a map of like the colors changing all the way down. Sent it to my mother earlier this week. So, yeah.
Did I just like trample all over something that sounds really awesome?
Wait, so hold on. I'm embracing out. You said a really cool fall foliage calendar.
Oh yeah, not a calendar. It's like a website where you click the calendar and it'll show you like in North Dakota the colors start changing like now, and in West Texas our colors won't change till like early November. It just shows the progression of the deal as you slide the date back and forth. Pretty cool. I'll send it to you.
Suddenly, the folks that were texting, complaining about Jimmy Lint talking so much about Aaron Judge today realized, hey, it's not always, it could always be worse.
But, yeah, our boy Drake May seems like he should be sailing. And our boy Drake May should have a sweater tied around his neck. Are we in agreement on that?
I don't know where he's from.
He's in state.
I'm just saying, with the name. Drake May can't be like a redneck.
Well, he's from Charlotte.
Yeah, he can't be a redneck.
No,
with the name Drake May, he's got to be like a.
It does sound a little uppity.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Especially if you add it in the third.
Thank you. Somebody embrace that.
Well, the funny thing about this Drake is that he's May. Born in 90. I'm sorry, he's born in 2003. So this is like this. I know, right? So it's not like he was named after Drake. I mean, Drake wasn't. I don't think it was very popular in 2003. I think that predates his.
Degrassi. So he was named after a duck.
Why do you hate Degrassi?
Well, you think Degrassi was hitting high ratings in Charlotte in the early 2000s?
Yes,
man,
I do.
2003, that makes me feel ancient. Holy crap.
Yeah, you said 2000 and.
Yeah.
There was an and in there. Yeah,
man.
That makes you like prehistoric for doing that. It was in 1917 that I was called to the
Great War.
Yeah, so, like I needed some Bardcore music behind there when he was saying the year.
Drake May, North Carolina is playing Notre Dame this weekend.
Yep.
And, May had a press availability this week. It's not unusual. He was asked about Sam Howell's success with the Tar Heels. Of course, Sam Howell started quarterback for UNC for a couple of years, went to the NFL, and also kind of through the prism of staying in state and playing for North Carolina. And he took a shot at NC State with his answer, kind of unprompted. There was nothing about NC State in the question. And he says, quote, "I didn't want to miss out on the home state. Growing up in Carolina, you're going to be a Carolina fan. Some people may say state, but really people who go to state just can't get into Carolina."
Oh.
How dare he?
That. Well, and that's the kind of thing that gets circled.
Well, and a few hours later, this was last night, Drake May on Twitter, quote, "I made a remark today about NC State, and I want to apologize.
Yeah,
I was answering a question about playing in state, and I said something I shouldn't have. I said it as a joke, but it was inappropriate. I feel bad and need to do a better job representing our program and this university."
Coach, that's Coach Brown, Coach Mack calling him in going, "Really, dude? Really?" Because they're pretty good this year. And
where's that game played?
I know. I was just thinking about that. The
I mean, part of me hates it, right? Part of me hates the idea that he had to apologize for that. He didn't. There were no cuss words there.
No,
it was nothing. It was in the context of the jabs that those fans take at each other.
Yeah, nothing. Right.
Every hour of every day on Twitter and message boards, and probably even at the water cooler at work.
Right.
That was
tame.
That was a rice cake in terms of like spicy level.
And that's no. And there's nothing about that that there's no offended group. In other words, we're not talking about a politically correct, oh, everybody's so, you know, that was just
great smack.
Yeah, that's just rival smack right there.
Yeah, they will host NC State this year. That game is played, I think, the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so again, one of the good things left in college football, and believe me, there's plenty of good things left, but one of the situations where the rivalry game takes place at the end of the year, right? Talked about this yesterday. Bedlam is about to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will that not be played in late November, if it were to be played in the future, it most likely would be crammed into September 5th or September 12th or whatever, because both teams need to scurry on to a conference play. But yeah, that's another reason. That's another thing that makes that Thanksgiving late November stretch so good in college football, because it just everywhere on the dial is another sort of rivalry game. Could be with implications, could be not. You hear all the same crap about, oh, they throw out the record books, but there's some truth to that. One team may be playing spoiler, one team may be playing for the marbles, but tons of emotion flowing.
Did you play much marbles as a kid?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah,
although I did see a show on the SEC Network the other day. Can't think of the name of that show, but Dana and I love it. DVR gets it. It's where they go around and sort of spotlight these little tiny towns in the SEC footprint. And one of the things in this little town, I think it was this episode centered on Tompkinsville, Kentucky. And one of the things they do there is have like a, they've got like a place where they go broom the floor in this little old crappy building. And these old men shoot marbles. Like, they've got a very involved games with all these rules. Three holes in the floor that you shoot the marble in, kind of a golf-like deal, but also a shuffleboard component where you knock each other's ball and you play in pairs. And these dudes, these old guys and dudes our age are down there crawling around in sawdust shooting this stuff. And, like, it wasn't the marbles you and I messed around with as little kids.
Man, think about it. You retire, you go to Tompkinsville, Kentucky, you know, watch some old dudes play marbles, and then you go up north and watch some leaves change. Oh man.
Probably watch some curling. If you go far enough up north, you get on some ice.
Yeah. Take the yacht out afterwards.
Say it again.
Go to Maine. Yacht out afterwards.
Well, don't do that if it's frozen.
Wait,
no, man. Like, back up. He missed on that one. Don't do the yacht if it's frozen.
You don't want to end up like Jack, do you?
That's right.
My heart will go on.
More tech talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com alongside Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you until 6:30. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You can also access that through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We'll be at Twin Peaks tomorrow and the Overton Hotel and Conference Center on Friday. We will have a pair of tickets to give away both days. So stay tuned for instructions on how to maybe obtain one of those pairs of tickets to Saturday's Texas Tech Texas game. Guess I'm curious, you know, we spent a lot of time over the summer pining over the four corner programs, right? Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, really kind of gung-ho about the idea of the Big 12 adding those teams into the mix. And I'm curious, have the first three season, or sorry, the first 3 weeks of this season dulled your interest at all? And the reason I ask is, I mean, Colorado is 0-3, and it's a very bad 0-3. Yeah. It's an awful 0-3.
It's hard to. It would be difficult not to think of them and Georgia Tech as the weakest two Power Five teams this year.
I mean, Arizona State is 1-2. They own a home loss to Eastern Michigan. Colorado, meanwhile, lost at Air Force by 31 points. I mean, we already knew going in that, man, there's just not a whole lot of folks that care about Colorado football. Mm-hmm. Like, administratively, you talk all the time about how aligned Texas Tech is. Right. From, you know, president to AD to boosters to coaches, everybody kind of rowing in the same direction. But there's just no care factor at Colorado at all. I mean, I could take or leave Colorado, frankly.
Oh, no doubt. I think there's a need. In something like conference affiliation, there's a need to not weigh too heavily the recent football success variable in the algorithm. And I said recent football success with my fingers making the little air quotey things. But, the question there, I guess, is, I mean, and I assume what would carry more weight, and it may sting Colorado to hear somebody like me ask this question. What would carry more weight, the University of Colorado in the Denver market or San Diego State in the San Diego market? I would think it's still Colorado and the Denver market. I would think the Denver market has, you know, some value.
But I don't disagree in general. Denver is a large metro area, yep. Right? But man, do they watch this sport?
I know.
You know, I mean, is Denver, what's the market penetration? Weed strain. For college football in Denver, or is that entirely Broncos, right? And then a little bit of Rockies and a little bit of Nuggets.
And they just won the Avalanche, just won the Cup.
Hockey too. Like, I mean, like,
bubbles up.
Just a pro football, sport town?
I think it's a similar question to Arizona State's hold on the Phoenix market, you know, because I don't think that's a tremendous hold. What's the, you know, somebody smarter than me can determine the value, but
you can at least tell by crowd shots that they have people that care, right? I mean, people show up to those games and watch. I don't know that anybody really cares at Boulder. And we were talking about that 15 years ago when they were still in this conference. And something else about Colorado that is just baffling to me. Do you know who their head football coach is? Carl Durrell, former UCLA coach.
Mm-hmm.
They hired him in 2020. Mm. And it was not as if he was some kind of hot coaching prospect when they signed him up. I mean, he was coaching, you know, he was the receivers coach for the Dolphins. Before that, he was a receivers coach for the Jets. Spent 1 year as the OC at Vanderbilt, which, you know, no surprise, didn't go well. And they pick him up essentially from the bargain DVD bin at Walmart, three DVDs for $5. And they give him this contract with a massive buyout. Like, who was banging? This is administrative malpractice. Mm-hmm. If they fired him today, they would owe him almost $9 million. What are you doing?
I mean, what's he going to do if you go, hey, we're going to do this, but we're not setting up a big buyout? Oh, yeah? Well, I'll stay here as the Dolphins wide receiver
exactly.
coach.
Right? Like, I mean, I recognize, too, that Colorado, it deserves to be acknowledged that Mel Tucker left that program relatively late in the process. I think it might have even been, like, late January or early February. Not a traditional kind of hiring window for a college football program, but still, man, if you want to hire that guy, you could have hired him for a lot less.
I think you market penetration is an important word there, because I'm looking at it. Denver 15th market, number 15 market, San Diego number 27 market, media market, Nielsen 2021 numbers. But I think, it almost feels such a, you know, it's a pretty part of the country, probably a very outdoorsy part of the country. The vibe there feels to me to be, you know, just laid back and, like you said, more of a pro sports sort of situation, in a way that I find myself thinking about more of these bigger Western cities that are dominated by their pro teams, in a way that you go, you know, and I'm sort of stereotyping to a lot of the Pac-12, going, yeah, Arizona State doesn't really have a grip. There was a time Arizona State had its grit, had its talons in the, you know, that was Phoenix, mm-hmm. man, and now they got all four pro sports. You know, San Diego State, what is their hold on San Diego? It's easy to go, well, they're the biggest thing in San Diego. Well, yeah, but USC's right up the road. You got to believe that USC has a pretty good grip on most of Southern California. We've seen, we parodied, and the other day you and I did, the photos of the UCLA game. I think they were playing South Alabama the other day, and they announced 28,000 tickets or whatever that was. Dude, there's no way. That crowd was so paltry in that Twitter photo, I feel like you could count the dots in that thing. I'll you know, we sit down and go, hey, give me an hour, I'm going to come back with a number here, and it ain't 28,000. It looked more like about 8,000.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson. And then some other guy. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Guess you wanted to clean something up?
He does. Yeah, the Sean Williams, Colorado, here, 99. Spikes last year.
Mm-hmm.
230-yard game. 31-7 win that year. Shad was the Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year.
Someone says that Shad is now a strength coach at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yep.
So you might see him here in a couple of years when Oregon visits Texas Tech as part of a non-conference series.
Yeah, very true. And he my assumption is, I mean, obviously, it's not an assumption. Since he's survived a coaching change, I assume he's on that staff, you know, as opposed to somebody that's tethered to the head coach.
Texas is the opponent this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly big game.
Yep.
Probably the last time that they will play in Lubbock as mm-hmm. a conference opponent. Maybe the last time they play in Lubbock for a very long time. We don't know that.
Yep.
It seems relatively certain they'll play them again next year in football, but that, of course, will be in Austin.
Yep.
You would think. But then again, maybe not. Maybe there's some Big 12 scheduling adjustments that occur because you're welcoming in new members. But regardless, big game on Saturday. Big emotional game. Mm-hmm. Meaningful game.
Mm-hmm. Is point spread still hovering around 4 or 5 points?
I think it's about 6.5 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Would you take a win Saturday in exchange for a sweep by the Longhorns against you in basketball next year?
Oh, God.
So dang. A football victory at home, 1 point, 100 points, doesn't matter, but two losses to Chris Beard and the Longhorns this coming season.
Dang, man. You have to present it that way?
I mean, would you prefer Spanish?
Yeah.
I don't speak Spanish.
No. Dang, man. That's rough. I mean, certainly the football thing moves the needle, but the emotion attached to the basketball, that's a rough one to pilot there.
I would take that trade in a heartbeat. You wouldn't even be able to finish the sentence before I said yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Because I kind of feel like you got a lot of that emotion out last year versus Texas and Chris Beard. And then you also, I mean, you'll get to play them
again.
You'll
get to play them,
right?
Yeah.
Beard will come to Lubbock another time mm-hmm. after this season. So you'll have one kind of final shot at him in Lubbock, not literally. I would take that and feel perfectly happy with it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, that's right.
Because that's a memory, much like the Texas game here in Lubbock earlier this year, that is a memory that you can kind of take and hang on your fictional sports mantle and go back to fondly for years and years.
I mean, yeah, and think about take care of this football game this weekend. Think about the 2022, if your thing is baseball, men's basketball, and football, if that's your bag. You got that game here that you're talking about, the win over Chris Beard, over Texas, where that place just, you know, was just off the chain. Then you get steal of home on Friday night in baseball, followed by walk-off home run and extra innings on Saturday. Then you'd get football win. That might be a good way to go. You know what? We're done. Our work here is done.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of expand on that thought a little bit more, I would guess probably, and I would have to go back and look, from a calendar year perspective,
mm-hmm.
your most successful year against Texas ever in the, you know, the three prominent male sports. Because you took the series in baseball, you swept them in men's basketball, and then in this scenario, and let's, you know, fingers crossed and talk this into existence, you win Saturday.
And we've had the calendar year thing has aligned with Texas for a long time, at least with regard to baseball. Of course, that's what we're talking about. He's playing home and away in basketball every year. But, you know, it's been that way for probably since the Big 12 started. That in other words, in 2000, you played him here in baseball in the spring, and then you played him here that fall. And so I guess we could go to what happened in 2002 when you beat him here. Baseball took 2 of 3, and you beat him here in football. Don't remember the basketball. That would have been Coach Knight's first, second year, right? Yeah. And then 2008, you beat him here. Basketball here wasn't very good. But no, basketball was right at the end of the Bob Knight, Pat Knight transition. I don't know. But
well, and the I went and looked. The Lady Raiders split their series this year.
Home
with Texas as well.
With the road split.
Right.
With the road
wins. They won in Austin, right, lost here in Lubbock.
Yeah, because that was Coach Gerlich, Coach Gerlich's little dust up there at the scores table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they ended up being a nice little fun little thing there. It was a fun little thing to observe.
Would you trade a win Saturday for losses at home to Baylor and to TCU in Fort Worth?
Good Lord. I probably...
Wait, Clint, would you do this? You never weighed in. You just kind of like stroked your chin and then just copped out of answering.
I would take the football win, first off.
For a sweep in basketball?
Yes, I would. And the second one was take the Texas win and you lose in Fort Worth and you lose to Baylor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably take that as well. I don't like the trade-off. But I think there's some real value at this point in Coach McGuire's tenure for getting this game this weekend. Being 3-1, rolling these dudes at home, just keeping that thing rolling.
This in the 8th flooring center chat line from Raiders Dad. I would make that trade.
Yeah.
Text or win Saturday, 2 losses in men's basketball, on the condition that it was a pantsing on the football field, a la 82 Burger with TCU in 2014. But the basketball losses need to be really, really close, coming down to the wire.
And something that we can like gripe about the refs cheating us or something like that. Yeah, I think that what we need is like about a 1994. I think we beat them here in 94, like 34-9 in football. I think that's right. Just kicked them. Kicked them good.
Grayson says this, we haven't beat them since the Crabtree tippy toe at home. McGuire would get an Aflac commercial with Dion if we beat them this week. PJ says this, Clint is a Jayhawk. He doesn't count.
Ouch.
No, he counts all the time. I mean, at the end of every segment, he counts me down from 10.
That's right.
So
I show you 32.
Yeah. Yeah. This in the chat line. Would you take a blowout loss to Texas if it means you make a bowl game or win and lose out?
Oof.
That one is tough.
Not the win and lose out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do the win and lose out.
That was because that
you take a blow. I mean, blowout loss to Texas in your last, like.
I mean, that's last year. You get smoked.
But this is your last shot at them, think.
You get
probably
smoked, but
at home.
But I don't want to be known as the dude like, yeah, we beat Texas. That's, you know, and then we get smoked the rest of the year and you stand around and thump our chest about beating Texas. Like, no, I don't like that scenario.
That's not necessarily as much that you're beating your chest for the rest of the year that you beat Texas. It's just that you have that. You can always look back at that and go, their last time up here is a member of the Big 12 they lost. And maybe... Like, maybe the urgency wouldn't be as kind of front and center if you had a firm idea of whether or not they would be back or not, right? If there was some kind of official announcement, hey, Texas agreed to a non-conference series or whatever, and you know that, hey, they'll be back in 2025 or 2028, whatever it is, maybe you feel different because you know, okay, you got another shot at them. But if this is the last time that they're going to be here playing football, I don't know. A few losses might be worth it.
How about we beat their butt and then go beat Kansas State's butt and then just keep right on beating people? Can we do that? Is that a scenario?
I mean, hopefully. Yeah, great. That'd be awesome.
Good plan.
This in the chat line. I want all of the victories, home and away, clean sweep of Texas in 2022. That is from Flyover Guy.
Yep.
Raiders Dad says, of course Clint wants us to lose 2 conference games. What does he care?
That was my thinking, exactly.
Yeah. His dastardly plot uncovered. More Tech Talk next.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3. Check out DoubleT973.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.